We're going to be looking at what that excerpt from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth was talking about. So if you want to go to that in your Bibles, it's 1 Corinthians 3, verses 11 to 17. I really like Professor Tom Wright's translation of the last two verses. Don't you see, you are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy them. God's temple is holy, you see, and that is precisely what you are. Now, we can only understand this in English, of course, if we realize that the you in the Greek is plural all the way through there. You all together are God's temple. God's Spirit lives in you all together. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. This is very serious. So what can we understand Paul to be speaking about in this passage? Paul here is talking about building God's temple as the church, God's people. And he begins by declaring it can only be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If it's not built on that foundation, then it's not church. But what else is involved in this building of the church, of God's temple? Now, the building materials that Paul mentions in verse 12 are things you might use to adorn or build up one particular building for those people. That's the temple. Solomon's temple was resplendent with gold and silver and precious stones, and when Herod the Great and his heirs built the temple, they did their best to make it just as spectacular once again. And though Paul doesn't mention the temple explicitly until the end there, he certainly has it in mind throughout this passage. This is the building that he and other Christian workers are putting up. And the idea of the temple as a community of people rather than a building of bricks and mortar and suitable adornment, that was not invented by Paul. Other ancient writings of the same time speak of the community in the same way. Many Jews in that period believed that the present physical temple in Jerusalem was under God's judgment, and that God would do a new thing, which might or might not involve a new physical building, but would certainly involve a new community made up of people transformed by God's saving power. So just as God's own presence dwelt in the temple, it was known as the Shekinah, the tabernacling presence from the time of the tabernacle, the tent in the desert. So God's Spirit dwells, Paul says, within that Christian community, making them the sort of functional equivalent of the temple within that new age that is already here, the age of the kingdom. So Paul is saying that the community of God's people who follow Jesus is where people can meet God, where God's Spirit dwells. So who is Paul speaking to when he writes of those who are building? In this particular context, he's talking about both the teachers like himself and Peter and Apollos who have fed into the church in Corinth, but also those who are in the church. They're quarrelling about who to most they most listen to and they most respect. And if we read what Paul says about building elsewhere, we can get more of an idea of how of what Paul is speaking about when he's speaking about those involved in building the church. And this, later in the same letter, he speaks to them in chapter 4, since you are eager for spiritual gifts, strive to excel in them for building up the church. And in chapter 14, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. In Ephesians 4, he also speaks of the gifts that some are apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ to maturity. And that body is another vision he has for what the church is. And later, about each part of the body working properly to promote the body's growth in building itself up in love. And in this context, he emphasizes speaking the truth in love. And then later in Ephesians 4, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So when Paul speaks of those who build God's temple, the church, he regards all those who are members of the body as having the role of building, especially in what they say. The emphasis of the passage is therefore that we're looking at today is still on those who build up this temple and on that danger that they will not build with the wrong materials, but they will actually, and also that the even greater danger, they will actually pull the building down altogether. So if this building is indeed God's temple, destroying such a holy place is an act of sacrilege. Faulty builders may get away with singed eyebrows, as you might say, when the fire comes, but the destroyers may end up being destroyed in their turn. So what's all this business about fire and bits being burnt up? Paul is warning that it's possible to do such work well or badly, and that one day the results will be made known. To make that point vividly, he describes two types of building material one might use. The first, gold, silver, precious stones, that'd all be able to stand up to fire. Wood, grass, straw, they're all combustible. And into this picture, he brings that regular Old Testament warning of a coming fire. Israel had known times of real fire. And especially when foreign nations had swept through and they'd burnt everything in their path, even the temple itself sometimes. The question here is whether the building of the church, the work that he and Apollos and the rest of those leaders in particular are undertaking, will in the end be seen to be of lasting value. The day which is coming and which will show what sort of work is done is clearly that day of the Lord. Then and only then it will be seen what each one has actually accomplished. Different workers have been at work on the building using different materials. Everyone who's part of a body is at work, supposedly building up the church. But the fire will burn some parts and leave others enhanced. Those whose work is burned will suffer loss. And the word Paul uses here is the sort of fines that would be levied when a builder was sued for shoddy work. So, once we've grasped the picture here is basically about different types of building, working to build up the church. We can also read this picture as indicating something at least of what Paul would say about God's judgment of every person according to their works, which he says in several places. And when the fire does its work, he says, the builders have used the wrong material will suffer loss, but may themselves still be saved. So he's taking a serious view of the Christian responsibility for what one does with that new life which begins as a Spirit's gift with faith and baptism. The main point here, of course, is the seriousness with which Paul takes the various tasks and responsibilities of Christians. We're not playing games. There are serious and lasting issues at stake. It's possible to build wisely, well, with the right materials. It's also possible to build badly or with the wrong materials. It's actually possible to pull down the building altogether. God takes these possibilities very seriously. So do we. How do we build up the church, build up the people of God? And especially looking at what we say that Paul emphasized there. Now, the older ones among you will have grown up in an age probably where you're only supposed to speak when you're spoken to. That's actually really unhelpful now, because the first thing we need to do, think about in building up the church with what we say, is that we actually do say things to each other, that we take the time to speak to one another, even to go out of our way to speak to those who may not be who we'd normally speak with those who are not really our friends, those who are not with others, those who may be less important or even unlovely in the world's eyes. As we take an interest in those who are fellow members of the body of Christ, and we speak with them, we are about maintaining the unity of the Holy Spirit and strengthening those bonds of peace that the Holy Spirit has established. So what do we say then to build up the body of Christ? We are to affirm and encourage whatever is, as Paul says in Philippians 4, true, honourable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. If someone's serving in the church, think about what it is that they do and go and thank them for it. Encourage them in what they do well. Think about what you can commend in anyone you go to speak with, and then do so. We have to be having this in our minds, though. We need to be really developing this habit of thinking what it is that will build up the other, will affirm what is good, what is true, what is pure, what is commendable. I mean, just an example or two. Like, Jenny and Bob cleaned this church well during this week so that we have a clean building to be in. And Bob went and fixed the car park sign last week. You know, really things that this is good. You know, I want to say how good it is. I mean, I see Mavis sitting here in the front row dressed so finely like she always is. It's an honour to God and to us. You know, I think of the way, you know, Pete in the background quite often is busy encouraging people and, being that sort of deacon of the church, as you might say, and always prays from his heart for people. You know, there's so many things that people are doing here that I can say really I'd love to affirm, because this is part of building up the church. And there's all sorts of things that we can think of to say about what people are doing and what they are in Christ. And as we affirm that good in others, we build them up in that area of their life. And so we build up that part of the body of Christ. And then if we speak about that commendable thing to others in the body, even like I've spoken about that here today, for example. So we make that sort of speaking a habit, a way of life, then we become one of those people who builds up the body with precious materials. A church that is full of that sort of talk will be a body full of the presence of the Holy Spirit. People will meet God in that body. The temple will be constructed with jewels of truth, honour, purity, excellence, praise. But, as Paul also says in lots of places through his letters and what he's talking about here too, if we speak negatively about someone else in the body, those who are listening will not be built up. Instead, those listening will feel negatively about that member of the body. They will find it harder themselves to build up that member themselves. And if that sort of speech becomes common in the body, then members will become anxious about what is said about themselves as well. Those who come into the body will not experience a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Those who are there may even end up leaving. That is why the Bible so often speaks against slander and gossip and the malicious tongue. James puts this well: with the tongue we can bless God, yet curse those who are made in the likeness of God. This ought not to be so. And as Paul said in Ephesians, let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. So, how do we develop that habit of building up the body of Christ with our speech? Practice, like any habit. Go to that person who you don't normally speak with and commend whatever you can to build up that member of the body. Do it again. Take an interest in each other and enjoy together that joy of unity as you focus on what is good and right before God. Don't be hesitant to give a compliment or to go out of your way to thank someone for what they do. And God's Spirit will be pleased to dwell among us. And remember how seriously God takes it when someone tears down the temple of his Spirit. Let us pray.